الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على نبيه الذي اصطفى نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهداه. The topic of today's khutbah, unfortunately, sometimes we're not at liberty as speakers to have the luxury of discussing what we would like to discuss, because we have the responsibility and the burden to teach our congregations and the people who pray Jum'ah and the people who do not have enough insight in what goes on around us to help guide them to better understand and better react to what takes place. The Islamic Society of Greater Salt Lake is working on a press release, which I just spoke to the president, about condemning what took place in France in recent days. One of the problems that the Muslims have, youth and people who visit other countries for purposes of business and benefiting in their education, is that sometimes people are not well educated in understanding how the media dynamics work, especially in this day and age. Now, if you look at any news outlet, you will see the people who speak French, and I, you know, ask your apology in advance. I'm not a French speaker, so should I mispronounce that and it basically strikes a negative chord with you, trust me, it's not intentional. I'm just not a native French speaker. I do try to do it to the best of my ability. If you look at any newspaper, any site, you will see the words "Je suis Charlie." For me, who is a person who is a non-French speaker, I had to first of all go to Google Translate, figure out what Je suis means. Basically, it means I am. So today's khutbah, you can say the topic, I pondered over the topic. Should the topic be Je suis Muslim, or should it be Je suis Ahmad? I think, since it's Rabi'ul Awwal, I think it should be Je suis Ahmad. Ahmad is the name of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And everybody probably saw the video where these super smart gunmen, these gunmen who considered themselves to be whatever, when they were going on the street, there was this policeman who was laying on the pavement. It's a very graphic video. The policeman was doing this gesture with his hands that, wait, wait, hold on a second. They went close to him with their guns, and they shot him point blank in their head, in his head, and he was killed. Now this policeman, by Allah's wisdom, by Allah's wisdom, When you see situations like this, you truly understand what the word and the verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. That truly Allah, regardless of what people try to do in the name of Islam, Allah eventually will be the one who will vindicate and realize and make the people realize that Islam is not about this kind of action. This person was a Muslim. His name was Ahmed, and his last name was very prophetic and very symbolic, Murabit. When I read that news, the first thing that struck me was his name was very unique. Ahmed Murabit. It's almost like telling the terrorists that even if you shoot me point blank in the head and you do not realize I'm a Muslim, Ahmed Murabitun ضد هذا الفكر. Prophet ﷺ, his name Ahmed, and his ummah are going to do what? They are going to keep defending their religion against crazy people like you. And not only that, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people here in the audience that are surprised by realizing that the cop that you see on YouTube being shot point blank by these crazies was a Muslim from North African descent. And his name was Ahmed Murabit. And you will be further surprised to know, which the media will never tell you here, especially Fox News will never tell you, this is something that Fox News will always miss. Because it's Fox, right? It's a very calibrated type of news outlet. As-salamu rahmatullah. So Fox News also missed that one of the editors in this newspaper, the satirical newspaper, Charlie Hebdo, was another Muslim who was killed, and his name was Mustafa Arud. He was 52 years old. Now our tragedy as Muslims is that we do not have the patience in realizing how to deal with current events, and we don't have the patience to learn Islam, nor do we have the patience to eat slowly. See any Muslim eat on the food table and you will realize what's our dilemma today. We don't have patience. So I'm going to do a little survey here. Please help me out here. How many people here in the audience that I'm speaking to realized that out of the 12 people who were gunned down mercilessly and in cold blood were Muslim? How many people knew? Only 2 or 3 people knew. You see the problem? Out of the people that are filling this masjid, only 2 or 3 people knew that 2 of the people who were killed in cold blood were Muslims. The policeman that you see in the YouTube video in which the terrorist comes to him and he says, "Are you going to kill me?" Well, this is translated text, so I don't know the authenticity. There's no... I can't verify. I'm not there. So this terrorist goes to this guy, Mustafa Ahmed Murabit. And apparently Ahmed Murabit was shooting at them to defend the people because he realized these people are crazy. So this terrorist, they go close to him and they say, "Are you going to kill us?" He says, no, chief, hold on. These are the translations. And I don't know if it's true or not. Regardless, the French police came out and they said that this guy was an honorable guy. He was an adorable, kind man who was killed. And his name was very symbolic. At least to me, it's very symbolic. His name is Ahmed Murabit. كَأَنَّهُ يَقُولُ بِأَنَّ أَحْمَدْ صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس هذا الرجل يعني أنا أحدث عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمته سوف يكونون في رباط مستمر ضد هذا الفكر العجيب الخبيث. So his name, if you were to translate it in Arabic, would be Ahmed the Defender. Because Murabit in Arabic is a name given to soldiers who are at the boundaries or at the state line or at the county, whatever you are, and they're defending the country against evil. So his name was Ahmed the Defender. Now, knowing all this, if somebody comes to you and says, wow, how come the Muslims are the ones who do this? Ask him, wow, how come you even ask me this stupid and silly question? Because you probably don't know that two of the people who were killed were Muslims. But see, none of the people, except three people here, can answer this. If only three people in this audience knew that out of the 12 people who were killed, one was a Muslim policeman and one was an editor in the same newspaper, right? And then you basically would be in a situation where you're going to have to defend yourself now. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. See, Muslims need to educate themselves and realize that the news media that is available for popular consumption may not be telling you the truth, or may not be giving you at least the full picture. May not be giving you the full picture. And if you do not know the full picture, how are then you supposed to be in a dialogue about something that you don't even know about? And here's another article which says 46 examples of Muslim outrage about the Paris shootings that Fox News can't seem to find. And this is true. There are certain news outlets that will never find anything good about Islam. Because for them, having situations like this, as tragic as they are, for them, that is what makes them money. That is when is their popular season. That is like their Eid. They love to see situations like this so they can capitalize on this and then attack and put and corner poor Muslim average Joe who doesn't even have enough time to read, and even if he does read, he doesn't know where and what to read. Even one of the people who was talking about all these hashtags on the social media, and people are saying, oh, je suis Charlie, that, you know, I am Charlie. He was a Muslim and he was a smart guy. He said, no, I'm not Charlie. Because although we are for freedom of speech, we don't like newspapers that make a mockery out of the prophets and newspapers that are anti-Semitic. Because this very same newspaper in 2007 was taken to court because one of their cartoonists, Maurice Sine, S-I-N-E, with a little prime on there, was taken to court because he wrote something anti-Semitic about the Jewish people. We're not anti-Semitic. So we don't like newspapers like this. So the correct answer for the Muslim youth, if you are cornered in a silly discussion about this, without facts of this thing, you say, no, I'm not Je suis Charlie, I am Je suis Ahmed. I do not identify with the actions of this newspaper because that's satirical, it makes fun of everything and every religion. I identify with the Muslim who was laying on the ground and fighting this ideology, and he got shot in cold blood. But his name was so unique that these stupid people didn't realize that the person they're shooting is going to become a thorn in their side. His name was Ahmed Mrabat, which basically means Ahmed who fights for the right, or the person who defends. Now, give it an example. Let's see the seerah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His job was such that people would make fun of him. His responsibility was such that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that they tell you that you are a sahir, you are a sorcerer. وَأَنْتَ كَذَّاب, that he's a liar. وَفِيهِ jinn, right? مَا بِصَاحِبِكُم مِّن jinn. إِنِّي أَعِظُكُم بِوَاحِدَة. There's an ayah in the Quran that I ask you for the sake of God, stand up and check yourselves and do some introspection. Do you really think that I'm a possessed man? Some of the people do not know because they do not read enough. And if they read, they read garbage. The famous story of Abdullah ibn Abi Surh. Who is Abdullah ibn Abi Surh? Radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Abi Surh was one of the first Sahaba who used to write the Quran in the presence of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the Quran used to be revealed to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, when the Quran was revealed to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to many traditions, we don't have time to go into them, is that the Sahaba would hear a buzz, like a bee is buzzing next to the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the blessed head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they knew that the inspiration from Jibreel alayhi salam is coming. And by the way, this buzz is verified in our day and time. This buzz of the bees, Dawiyu al-Nahl, Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he says in his book, Kayfa Bada al-Wahi, how the inspiration on the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began, right? He talks about Hira, Ghar Hira and all that, you know, where the first encounter between Jibreel alayhi salam came, right? Then he talks about the physical attributes of the wahi. He says, كان يسمع عند رأسه صلى الله عليه وسلم المبارك دوي كدوي النحل. دوي. A buzz like the bees are buzzing, like a frequency. Now you know who has verified this? That whenever the angels are present, there's an electromagnetic change that takes place in the environment. The person right now who is living in Madinah al-Munawwara, whose job is a dream job, you know what his job was? For 20 and 30 years, he sat where the Prophet ﷺ's grave was in the Hujra al-Mubarakah, making sure that the grave is safe and nobody or intruder comes inside. And his interview is in YouTube in Arabic by one of the famous scholars from Mauritania, Sheikh Muhammad Wild Didu. He went to Medina and he made a discussion with this guy. He said, do you feel anything unique when you are sitting in the Hujra al-Mubarak, in the blessed room of the Prophet ﷺ, in the blessed company of the Nabi ﷺ? He said that I hear a buzz like the bees in Fajr time and Asr time. And he said that I understand that those times the angels change shifts. And that's what's in the hadith. So فهذا الدوي, this buzzing is still verifiable. And he said that when I used to sit next to the grave of our blessed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said my whole body, when the buzz would start, would become mashlul. Basically, I would not be able to move from my place. This is a verifiable fact. Now this person, Abdullah ibn Abi Surh, used to write the wahi, right? The Quran. One of the surahs of Surah Al-Hajj or Al-Mu'minun, my memory does not serve me well, because I'm basically not, I haven't prepared this, I'm going off what I remember. May Allah help us. He was writing the verses when they were being revealed to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about the creation of man. That when we created a man from a morsel of flesh, then we converted them into bones, and then the bones were then clothed with meat, muscle. And then at the end, Abdullah ibn Abi Surh says, and this is a correct narration, he says, فَقُلْتُ تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. I said to myself, تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ الْخَالِقِينَ. So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, add this too. Add these last three words too. He said, that was a cause of fitna for me. I said, what kind of a nabi is this? That when I say something, he says, okay, that's part of the Quran. Make it part of the Quran. So he said, in that day, Allah tested me. And then when I left the company of the Prophet ﷺ, I became a murtad. Can you imagine? A person who is writing the Quran as it's being revealed, he was tested in such a way that he became a murtad. He left the religion of Islam. You know who Abdullah ibn Abi Surh was? His mother breastfed Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. The man who married two daughters of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The man who memorized the same Quran, this person doubted. This person doubted the same Quran that Uthman ibn Affan memorized radiallahu anhu. This is Abdullah ibn Abi Surh. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? Now Abdullah ibn Abi Surh did not stop there. Not only did he disbelieve in Islam, he went and started instigating animosity against Islam as a false religion, a religion that is by a prophet who makes up stuff. And he went and told people that what kind of Quran is this? I was even writing that Quran. Now let me ask you a question. Is this a worse act of defiance, or making a cartoon about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a worse act? This is a worse act, because you're challenging a prophet while he is alive. Please come forward so you can leave room for the brothers who come in late. I'm asking you a question. Is this act a worse act of defiance, or the act that some stupid person or a cartoonist, you know, makes fun of prophets all the time? هذا أشد. Of course this is a worse act. Now what did the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala put him in a position where Abdullah ibn Abi Surh was present in front of him and he could do whatever he wanted? There were four people who were wanted for war crimes when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered Mecca as a conqueror or as a victorious person. One of them was Abdullah ibn Abi Surh. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, when he realized that today the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has overcome his enemies and Allah has blessed him with this victory, so he went and found Abdullah ibn Abi Surh and he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his hand and he said, O Rasulullah, this person's mother used to feed me milk when I was young. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so upset, he turned his face away from him. Now, this is Uthman, the Nurayn, bringing who? Abdullah ibn Abi Surh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then was approached again from the other side by Uthman. And he said, this person's mother and me were like brothers when we were raised up. She took care of me. The Prophet turned his face away. Finally, the Prophet ﷺ looked at his Sahaba and he said, do you not see what is going on? Like, you are my soldiers. Do you not see what is going on? So the Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, لَوْ لَمَزْتَ لَنَا, if you just give us a sign or a signal, we will execute him. You know, like, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, it does not besuit a prophet. It is not from the etiquettes and the manners of prophets to execute people with their gestures. You know, like big kings, what they love to do is bring their enemy in front and then they do this with their finger. And then the executioner comes and chops off the head and then he scratches his fingers. Or looks at his robe and he thinks he's so awesome. And then he's dead. He's never been heard of now. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is not the ikhlaq of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Right? And in another narration, one of the other people who were wanted, he ran away on a horse. And his wife came to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was combing his hair. She said to him, if I ask you something, you will be granted. Will you grant me that wish? He respected her so much. He said, ask whatever you want, I will grant it to you. She said, I want amnesty for the criminal that you had ordered to be found. He said, amnesty is given to you. Go. So she went after him in The seas of Galilee, he is already all the way to Palestine, send a messenger. She said, come back, Muhammad has given you amnesty. Muslims are never thugs. Muslims do not behave like the mafia. You winks at somebody and then he goes and he shoots and pops him for you. That's what it is. This is what the mafia does. You're talking to them, you're discussing with them, the guy either winks at the other guy, the guy takes out his gun and pam, you're out. This is not the ikhlaq of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or the Sahaba. They were not gangsters. They were not thugs. They were not crazy people with guns. Now let me ask you a question. These stories are from the seerah with authentic sanad. After you learn all of this, you should say, yes, we are for freedom of expression, but we do not consider freedom of expression that you basically mutilate and offend the feelings of people from all faiths and all religions, even if they are a different faith than ours. So yes, I consider myself to identify more with Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So yes, rightfully so, the khutbah should be called Je suis Ahmad. I am Ahmad, follower. I am for this, but not for that. Killing people like this gains nothing. Gains nothing. Here's an example of your prophet. Look at the examples of the Sahaba. These weirdos, they have these little news outlets or whatever. They caught one of the fighters or the Air Force pilots from Jordan. And some of the news outlets are saying they're talking to him. And they're saying, Al-Murtad. They're talking to this Jordanian guy and saying, the apostate, like when they publish his interview, they say the apostate was questioned. And then we responded, we are Muslims. According to their ideology, everyone is an apostate. They're the only Muslims left. There are 46 countries who condemned this, according to this news article. There's the Council of Islamic, American Islamic Relationships. There's the Muslim Council of Britain. There's the French Muslim Council. There's the Union of Islamic Organizations of France. There's the Arab League with 22 countries. There's the Muslim Advisory Council to the NYPD. There's the Birmingham, Alabama Islamic Society, which I used to be a khatib in as well when I was in Alabama. There is Islamic Corporation Organization. You, 46 organizations that you will never know, because if you listen to Fox News, you'll never know that this happened. So don't feel bullied. In your job, in your school, in your university, in your business, do not feel bullied. Do not feel that you owe anybody anything. If somebody comes and tries to be a smart aleck and tries to tell you, oh, how come the Muslims, you know, are doing this? Say, do you know that two Muslims were the first people killed? Do you know that the policeman who was killed was a Muslim? Do you know that 46 major international organizations have condemned this? So then how do you have the guts to ask me this question? Shame on you. Ban Ki-moon, he said in his statement that this is not an attack on religion or a fight on religion on religion. This is common humanity that was attacked. There were Muslims who were killed by these fanatics who claimed to be a certain brand of Islam. And this is not the first time in history. If y'all read the history of what the Muslims had to go through, you will see much more brutal actions than this by Muslims and non-Muslims. As I stated before, when a person is convinced that his political ideology is the only one that humanity deserves, then massacres will take place. Be it communism, be it Stalinism, be it this new kind of craziness that we see. It is so filthy, I don't want to even name it. So yes, today in this masjid, as well as in Islamic Society of Greater Salt Lake after the press release, my recommendation to you is, no, I do not agree with the slogan, Je suis Charlie. I agree with the slogan, Je suis Ahmad. And if you don't know what that means, let me explain to you what that means. First, it means that the person that was killed defending these people was a Muslim. And his name was Ahmad Murabat. And he was from North Africa. The other guy who was killed was an editor in the newspaper. His name was Mustafa Arud. And he was also a Muslim, 52 years old. His wife is going to be a widow. His children are going to be orphans. And he was also killed in cold blood. Without discriminating that you're a Muslim, we'll leave you alone. No, these people have no mercy. If they see me, they'll probably shoot me too. Because they'll consider me a murtad. If they see you, they'll shoot you too. Because they consider you a murtad. This is the way these people think. If you are not convinced yet, I don't know what else will convince you. So hold your head high. Do not feel branded. Do not feel that you have to defend something. You already have a legacy of greatness. You already have a legacy of great respect. You already have forefathers who have done so much positive for the world, and they have left their mark on history, that none of the actions of these silly and misguided folks will ever be able to extinguish. Because these people, the way they conduct themselves, they will find that their own destruction will be in their own actions. You watch. Mark my words. These are the same people. A man came to me in my workplace. He said, how come the people, why are the people in the Middle East so angry? I'm like, what are you talking about? First of all, what are you talking about? He's like, about what's going on in Paris. I'm like, first of all, I don't watch the news. And when I'm forced to watch the news, I get it from alternative sources. And second of all, do you know that these very same people killed 150 people in Pakistan last month? Do you know at this very moment, there are 30,000 Pakistani army soldiers who died defending humanity against these crazy people in their own country? Do you know that? He's like, I didn't know that. I'm like, yeah, why would you know that? I'm like, do you know that there are actually Muslim countries right now fighting these weirdos? Do you know that? He's like, I don't know that. I'm like, well, why would you know that? He's like, then why does that happen? I'm like, because there are crazy people in the world. You'll find crazy doctors. You'll find crazy pizza delivery drivers. You'll find crazy people everywhere in all walks of life. Didn't I say that before in a khutbah? You'll find a crazy writer. You'll find a crazy cartoonist. You'll find a crazy cook. You'll find crazy people everywhere. That's just the way it is. So he said, then how come people fall for the craziness? I'm like, how come you have Ku Klux Klan in the South? How come you still have Nazis even after Hitler was defeated? Because some people just gravitate towards extremism. And the reason is because they have some character fault. If you analyze this deep, you will realize that the people who are always not willing to change and stubborn about their opinions in Islam or anything else, they think everybody should conform to them. They don't need to conform to anybody else. And that's why when you see some scholars of Islam, they're very rigid about their opinions. Now, having conviction is different. Having Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar is different. But having stubbornness without due cause is different. When we say that we are tolerant, we also mean that we also do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar. But Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar, which was supposed to be the topic today, unfortunately couldn't do it, is going to be discussed next week. If, of course, I'm allowed, or the situation around us allows us to talk on these issues. Amr al Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar is not that you pick a fight on a matter of fiqh. Most of the Amr al Ma'ruf and Nahi an Munkar in the Islamic communities is happening on matters of simple fiqh differences. True or not? How many rak'ahs of Taraweeh you pray? Is this a matter that's going to be... Seriously? I mean, come on, man. Don't like this masjid, go to other one. Khalas. May Allah help us and guide us. So remember, don't feel bad. This tragedy is there, unfortunately is there, we have to deal with it. But it should teach us that these people or these types of ideologies have no mercy on anybody. Even if he's a guy pleading for his life, and he's a Muslim, and his name is Ahmed, and his name is Murad. May Allah save us from the deviancy of this thought. May Allah keep our communities and our youth safe from the seduction of these people on the YouTube and all their internet outlets. And may Allah help humanity get rid of this cancer that we have now. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Tonight from 5 to 7 and tomorrow from 3 to 7, there is Siratul Nabi program in Masjid Khadija. There will be food served, and there is a guest speaker who's coming from California. He's a very well-known scholar. His specialty is in halal ingredients in food and in halal advocates. He's a very well-known person. I've had the pleasure to discuss issues with him on LinkedIn, but I have never personally met him. I urge you that in light of not having any other positive activity on the weekend, you should make some time to at least go visit and check out the program. And if you have any issues and questions, you can ask the scholars there, or you can always approach us or the committee for any information. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.